Thanks for doing this.
Oh, no problem. Hey, the more people that we could tell and the more we're able to spread the word around, well, really the world, but the United States and Canada, the better off we'll be for both addiction, substance abuse, and even mental illness. So we have to do it.
Okay, well, that's a great attitude. I like that. Healthy, positive. So I'll just, anything you want to say to me about it before we start? We're going to be talking about long-term cravings for unhealthy food.
No, you know, I should be, you know, that's my field, so I should be able to answer your questions.
Okay. Okay, I'll just say 3, 2, 1, and then we'll take off.
Okay, yeah. Great.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, go. Welcome back to the program. I'm David Eddy. I'm here with leading nutritionist, author, and Dr. James Cantor. Welcome, Doctor.
Thank you very much for having me. My first name is Keith. It's Dr.
Sorry.
Keith Cantor.
Start again.
You want
my fault.
No problem. You want me to start again or how?
So I'll start again. I'll say 3, 2, 1, and we'll go.
Okay.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, go. Welcome back to the program. I'm David Eddy. I'm here with I've got Dr. Keith Cantor on the line. He is leading nutritionist, author, and founder of NAMED, N-A-M-E-D, Nutritional Addiction Mitigation Eating and Drinking. Welcome to the program, Doctor.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for coming on. So, we all have junk food cravings.
Correct.
Once in a while. In fact, I had one on the way to work tonight and had a cheeseburger and french fries, which I added a salad, so just to be on the healthy side. But you're, according to your research, long-term cravings for unhealthy food might actually be an indicator of serious health issues.
That's correct. Without sounding too scientific, all humans have what we call opiate receptors in our body. And these opiate receptors, which are clusters of cells, are in our spinal cord, our gastrointestinal tract, and our brain. When they get stimulated, they release chemicals, and those chemicals give us cravings. Now, we all know, since they're called opiate receptors, that drugs will stimulate them. But surprisingly, many other things stimulate the opiate receptors, including a lot of foods. So when those foods, like sugar as an example, gluten, dairy, sugar substitutes, when those foods are eaten, or junk foods which have so much of that in it already anyhow, preservatives and additives that are unnatural, when they stimulate the opiate receptors and that chemical is released, it tells our body we have an urge. Our body doesn't really know what that urge is. It just knows it has an urge. So if our body is used to drinking a lot of alcohol, that's what it thinks the urge is for.
And right, and I've read a lot, and it accords with my own personal experience that, you know, for example, it's not necessarily even unhealthy food. I've read a lot about wheat triggering this kind of reaction, and I've noticed, you know, if I eat a bowl of pasta, I eat a lot more. I eat some, and then it makes me want more, and I eat more than I usually would, and apparently that's because pasta is one of these things that triggers your opiate.
That's correct. If you eat gluten, you'll tend to have 350 calories a day more than if you had the same diet without gluten.
So what are some of the foods that are most dangerous for us? You mentioned sugar.
Sugar is the biggest one.
You
could read books and articles and stuff where it says sugar is like more addictive than cocaine. Now, that may be an exaggeration, but sugar is definitely addictive. And when that starts, the cycle starts, and we get the opiate receptors stimulated, and they keep in it, the cycle keeps going. So that's a big one. Gluten is a big one. Most dairy products, except for yogurt, are a big one. Sugar substitutes, except for stevia, are a big one because we fool the body. And then things like unnatural, which almost all of them are, additives and preservatives do the same thing. And all of them do the same thing. They stimulate the opiate receptors, which makes it release chemicals, which gives us the cravings. And then if we're not addicted to anything, then all that'll happen, which is still bad, is then we'll have more cravings for sugar, which will give us, which could lead to weight gain and give us obesity-related diseases like diabetes type 2, which from what I understand is just as bad in Canada as it is in the United States. You know, the rise of it. But if we have any inkling towards an addiction to like oxycodone or alcohol or cocaine or any type of drug like that, this will reinforce it. So that's one of the main reasons that I push so hard to set up my menus so I do not stimulate the opiate receptors, if possible at all. And it's hard to make it 100%, but as little as I can. Because what happens is the people that go to rehabilitation centers or addiction center, they're good in the sense that they don't have the drug or alcohol for 30, 60, 90 days, which is excellent. They eat better food. They work out some, and of course they talk to a therapist, but they're not working on not stimulating their opiate receptors. So they'll transfer the drug, since they're not allowed to have it, and in theory they can't get it, to things like sugar, to things like gluten and dairy. So when they leave after a month or 2 months or 3 months, even though they're, quote, cured, and they haven't had any of the drug or alcohol, the opiate receptor is still stimulated. So when they go back into the old environment, it's pretty easy to get them to switch back to their old habits of drugs or alcohol or whatever the problem was. And that's why in the United States, and I think it's almost as bad in Canada, we only have 15% of the people that have a successful withdrawal rate. We have 85% approximately of the people that relapse. If we're able to work with the opiate receptors the way that I do it, it's still not good, but it's much better. We have about 70% of the people relapse, and about 30% of the people that have successful withdrawal, which to me is still horrible numbers, but it's still double what they were.
Right, and it's interesting because I think that it's been, you know, we've had a lot of confusing and contradictory information hit us kind of as a species for the last 50 or so years. You know, butter is bad for you, so everybody eats margarine. Turns out that was a mistake. Coffee's bad for you. Turns out that was wrong. But now there does seem to be a consensus forming, certainly around sugar and wheat. And I think one of the things that's confusing for me as a parent, whole wheat. You know, it's, so many of these products that are touted as healthy. Also, yogurt, you mentioned. Well, yeah, okay, so I'll just go quick, you know, I'm in a hurry, I'll grab something in the supermarket, grab some yogurt. Well, it's full of sugar.
You have to look at the yogurt very closely.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think of what the kids drink, they drink four or five of those juicy juices a day, which probably has 1,000 empty calories in it. Why don't our kids drink water with a little lemon or lime in it? Let them do it themselves the night before, squeeze it, get their hands all mushy, and then put that in their thermos. Then they have a little high alkaline water, which is important for them, which I'll explain in a second if you have the time. But they made it, so they take ownership of it. And that's way healthier. It would cut down on the calories, cut down on the childhood obesity, and it hurts to have what we have, which is a low alkaline diet. We have an acidic diet, and by most people, especially those that are addicted to anything, having an acidic diet, which means a low pH, what that does is, besides aggravating things like arthritis and fibromyalgia and Crohn's disease, it also throws the insulin mechanism off balance. And what that does is either give us a craving for sugar, or it does the opposite, and it doesn't give us a craving for sugar, but it stops us from wanting sugar, and it tells the cells in our body to release the sugar, and the cycle starts again. So my diets are designed with my team to not stimulate the opiate receptors and get rid of what's called inflammation, which is caused by acidosis, which is a low pH diet, and to raise the pH slowly, slightly, but over a constant period of time. And between those two things, it helps increase the successful withdrawal rate and lower the relapse rate. Far from where I want it to be, but it's a lot better than where it started.
Well, we are just about out of time.
That's okay.
Cantor, but you mentioned I have been taking a glass of water with lemon in it every morning, and I do find that my health is, I think, better.
If you let the kids, and if there's kids involved, do it the night before, so it soaks overnight, they take ownership of that drink, and they'll drink it all. If it's just for adults, put in lemons, limes, mix it up, but try to let it soak in for a while. It'll raise the pH, it'll help with the inflammation, and between those two things, it's healthy for you, number one, it'll help with weight problems, but it'll definitely help with substance abuse, especially if you're in a substance abuse program, because that's how all my stuff is really designed at the beginning.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Cantor. I appreciate it. Great tips, great thoughts, and very interesting.
Thank you very much for having me. Anytime.
Okay, cheerio.
Bye-bye.